your Bible and turn to Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. There is a little phrase in the Bible, two-word phrase, let us. I believe I have not possibly mentioned that before. It's used approximately 193 times in the Bible, 126 times in the Old Testament, and 67 times in the New Testament. The writer of the book of Hebrews uses it 13 times in his little letter. It was first used by God during creation when he spoke of creating man. Let us, he said, create man in our own image. The writer of Hebrews uses it, as I said, 13 times. At times throughout the Bible, it's used in many different ways, in various ways. It's used as a warning. Different times it uses an exhortation, sometimes it uses an encouragement, and other times it's used even as a means of permission. Whether you realize it or not, it is a little phrase that we use on a regular basis. I would imagine that most of us here today have used that little phrase sometime today. Let us go down to the basement. It's cooler down there than it is upstairs. Let us use screws instead of nails. It gives a greater security, greater strength. It's just a little phrase that we use so often as we go through our daily life. Let us be careful that we not be mistaken in the decision we make. Let us. And in Hebrews chapter 4, we find that the writer of the book of Hebrews uses it a couple of times. And we want to look at that little phrase. We're not going to speak on all the 193 of them tonight. We're not even going to look at all the 13 of them. But the Lord's been guiding me. You know, I only get to preach one Sunday a month. And all you people say amen. And but, you know, Pastor is in a series on Sunday morning in the book of Luke. And Sunday nights, he's in a series on the book of Genesis. Pastor Caleb is in a series on the book of Philippians. So I thought, well, maybe I better get in line and get a series going here. But Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we're so thankful tonight for those who you have given the talent and the ability to produce music honoring and glorifying unto thee. It's such an important and a blessed part of our worship. Lord, now as we look into your word, I ask God that you would direct our thoughts. Pray, Lord, you protect my lips that I would not speak anything amiss, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us, therefore, fear. Verses 1 down through verse number 8. Let us, therefore, fear. Fear that we not miss God's rest. And so, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we find, first of all, that there is a rest for us that has been promised to us. In the context of Israel having fallen short of entering into the promised land, if we would go back to chapter 3 and begin with verse 7 and go down through verse 19, we find there that he speaks of Israel not entering into their rest, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But he summarizes there in verse 19 of chapter 3. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now Paul goes from that point and he gives a warning that we also do not fall short. Yes, there is a rest that has been promised. It's a promise from God, and you know, if God promised it, it's going to take place. It's actual. It will happen. And rest is available for you and I today. If you look at verse 5, he says, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they be, and to them it was first preached, entered not in because of unbelief." And of course, that speaks directly to the manner of Israel, but it is true in our lives as well. There is a rest that is available to you and I this evening. It is a rest that is used in times of the Hebrews, but is also in our time as well. It's a spiritual rest that the writer of the book of Hebrews is speaking of here. It's a spiritual rest that is pictured by the Canaan rest that was available to Israel, to the Hebrews at that particular time. Now, Jesus spoke of this available rest back in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 down through verse 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you and I, by faith, accept Christ's invitation given in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," we enter into a salvation rest. And we enter into a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A rest made possible by Christ, as they sang tonight. Christ died for me. It is because of that fact that you and I can have the rest of salvation. We can enter into that salvation rest. But, you know, we must, each one of us, accept it individually. The promise has been given. The rest is available. But just because it's available doesn't mean we all have it. I look across this auditorium this evening and I imagine that it is true in your lives. You have entered into that salvation rest this evening. But also, as we by faith surrender our lives totally to the Lord, as Paul mentions in Romans in chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And as we enter into that new relationship beyond salvation, we enter into that promise of a sanctification rest or a submission rest in our lives. The rest of salvation is that which gives us peace with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But as we enter into that rest of submission or of sanctification, then we can enjoy the peace of God. We have peace with God through salvation. We have the peace of God through a surrender, through a giving of our life unto the Lord in Philippians chapter 4 in verses 6 down through verse 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The rest spoken of here in the book of Hebrews can refer to that rest that the believer will enjoy in the future. When we enter into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, this old world does not give you rest, especially as things are going on today. There is no peace unless you have a peace in Christ. But also, we find it as an application to that abundant life that we have in Christ promised us that can be ours in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful for eternal life. I'm so thankful that I have a new life in Christ. But, you know, it's not just a life in Christ. It can be an abundant life beyond just a matter of salvation. Have that abundant life. And so rest has been promised. But rest can be missed. He begins this chapter. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Because a rest is promised, let us be careful that we fail to not enter into that rest. God promised Israel the promised land when they came to the border of Kadesh Barnea. Talks about it in Numbers in chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Now notice the next phrase, which I give unto the children of Israel. And so it was a promise that God gave. And, you know, we often call it the promised land, the land of Canaan. And he promised it. But at the same time, because of the fact that they did not follow the Lord, did not accept that promise and that he had made to them, an entire generation died in the wilderness. For another 40 years, they spent their time out there. Now, Paul there then has an exhortation to us, lest that we enter not into that rest, that we fall short of partaking of the promise given us, either of the salvation rest and also the submission rest or sanctification rest. Fear can be both good and bad. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear. We need to realize tonight that there are those who would take a verse such as this and they would use it to try to say that there is a contradiction, there are contradictions in the Bible. Now, if you want to take things out of context and so forth, I guess you could try to prove there's contradiction, but there is no contradiction in the Bible. But they would try to prove that it contradicts such verses as Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That verse says that we have not received the bondage again to fear, but the verse that we look at here in Hebrews says tells us to fear. And there's another verse also in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There is a proper fear that we should have. Now, that's true physically. How many of you tonight have a fear of snakes? I have a hard time getting my wife to even go into the snake display when you go to a zoo or a museum or something. Though they're behind that thick glass, she just hates snakes. She hates worms almost as bad, but that is a proper fear. When we lived in West Salem, there was a place in La Crosse that we would go to occasionally, and it was a real drop-off. There were some people who had lost their life. You know, I had a fear of allowing David and Michelle to get too close to the edge of that cliff. Because if you went off, you went off several feet, several thousands of feet. And, so that's a proper type of fear. But there is also a proper fear spiritually as well. Again, I mentioned Israel coming to the border of the Promised Land. They're at Kadesh Barnea, and they entered not into it because of unbelief. But one of the reasons they didn't enter in because they had a fear of the people that were in there. You remember they sent in 12 spies, and 10 of them come back, and they said, oh, those are big people in there. And, they're strong, and they're walled cities. And as a result of that fear of those people and not trusting God, they were not able to enter in to the Promised Land at that particular time. You know, we need to be careful that we do not hinder our life, our work, our service for the Lord out of fear of people. You know, even out of fear of what our family might say about us, what our co-workers might say about us. And, you know, in John chapter 12 and verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They feared what the religious people of that particular day would think of them if they entered into the synagogue and they worshiped and served the Lord. Spiritually, there is a proper fear of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a service of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Now, it's not a fear that we're afraid that if we stub our toes spiritually, God's going to bring the hammer down upon our head and he's going to crush us. No, that's not the fear he's talking about. But he's talking about that fear of reverence, realizing, recognizing who God is and have a total reverence for him. Israel failed because they did not believe the promises of God. Do we sometimes fail because we neglect to just trust the promises of God? Let us fear. Have a genuine concern that we, because of a lack of faith, miss out on the rest of salvation, that we miss out on the rest of submission, that we miss out on the abundant life that the Lord desires to give us. Let us fear. Now drop down to verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So here again, we find a challenge from the writer of the book of Hebrews. Let us labor. Again, in verses 9 and 10, he brings out the point that rest is available. For there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This is a re-emphasizing of the fact that today we can enter into the rest of God. It is available to you and I. Yes, it was available to Israel in the proper context there, but it's also available to you and I. There is a future rest that can be ours, but also we can experience a rest today. Faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary brings a regeneration. And rest, as it continues, we continue in our faith in Christ, the ongoing work of Christ in our lives, brings the rest of abundant life. You know, when he saves us, when he gives us a new birth, he does not abandon us, but he continues to work in our lives. You know, I imagine most of us here tonight have asked the Lord why. Certain things happen in our lives, and we say, Lord, why is this happening? Now, my personal opinion is, that's a good question to ask. Lord, why are you allowing this in my life? Lord, what is it you want to develop, or you want to change in my life, or you want to strengthen in my life? And so when things do happen, we ought to ask that question, why? But we need to realize at the same time, we need to simply trust Christ. In chapter 10 of Hebrews and verse 38, he says, the just shall live by faith. That phrase is used three other times in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith is impossible to please God. So we need to continue having faith in our daily life, our daily walk with the Lord. So rest is available, but it is also achievable in verses 11 down through verse number 13. You know, since rest is available, since it is promised, and since there is a danger of falling short of it, the apostle urges us that every effort be made to achieve that rest. Labor. Word labor there means let us strive diligently, earnestly. You know, what is written in the scriptures is written for our learning. As Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It's also an admonition to us, as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. These are characteristics of God's word. It's living, it's powerful, it's sharp, it's piercing, discerner. They're in verse number 12. The warning given of the failure of the Israelites is a reminder that you and I can fail. But the writer of Hebrews is given a challenge to keep us from falling. We fail because of a lack of faith, because of an obedience, as did Israel. But how do we give diligent, earnest service to the Lord? It is by giving close attention to the Word of God. I have the very distinct privilege of trying to teach young people who are smarter than I am. It's called a college and career class. And I'm going to have to do a lot of studying. But we need to give tension we're working in that class of and how to know and to apply God's will to our lives on a daily basis. And we just got started this morning on, of course, nature helps us to understand God and the will of God. And then we just read a few verses, and next week, Lord willing, we're going to look into how the Bible has a means of helping us to understand the will of God in our lives. But to be diligent, to press forward, we need to give diligence to the word of God in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. For so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We today need to labor. Now, be careful. We do not work for our salvation. We do not labor for our salvation. But we ought to labor. Labor in prayer, labor in study of the Word of God, that we learn more on how to trust the Lord, just simply by faith, to live for Him. In the Word, we see God. You also see, we see God in the Word, but we also see how God sees us in the Word of God as well. The Apostle Paul, as I mentioned, is not speaking of salvation. We cannot lose our salvation, as some would like to imply in that verse. That's an impossibility. I grew up in a church that taught that you could lose your salvation. And after I came to the conclusion in the Bible that that is an impossibility, I thought, boy, a person who believes you can lose your salvation ought to be the best Christian ever. In case something happened when you were out of touch with the Lord, you miss heaven. No, you cannot lose your salvation. And Paul, the writer of the book of Hebrews, I've got to be careful. Some of you might not think Paul wrote it, but we'll get you straightened out. Anyway, we need to be careful. We need to strive. A number of years ago, I heard Dr. John Getch preach. Dr. John Getch is Mrs. All of a sudden her name slipped. Gray, yeah, Mrs. Gray's brother. We had John Getch for evangelistic meetings in every church that I pastored. And good thing I'm not pastoring this church. Well, she would have had to put up with John Getch, I guess. But but he, in preaching on a message on 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, he made this statement: no one has ever achieved anything without discipline. There is no easy steps to enjoying God's blessing. It takes work. Now, look at a few examples. When the nation of Israel were out in the wilderness, and of course, they were typical people. They grumbled, and none of us here ever grumble. But God has blessed them with manna. And he blessed them with the doves to eat and so forth. And what a blessing. But you know, it took effort on their part to enjoy that blessing. They had to get up every morning and go out there and to gather it and to bring it in. You think of another example of that, it takes some effort. In Acts chapter 5, you read Acts chapter 5 and you see how there that souls were being saved and Christians were being edified and the church was growing. But it took effort. The people had to be sowing the seed. They had to be winning souls. And of course, they could not save souls, but they needed to be presenting the gospel that souls might be saved, and they had to be baptizing them and so forth. It took effort to go house to house and in the temple faithfully presenting the gospel of Christ. Yes, God promises blessings, but here he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verses 25 down to verse 27, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul had a concern that when he ministered to others, he himself would be disapproved of the Lord. One day, you and I are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand at the bema seat of Christ, and we will give an account of our life to the Lord. Have we been diligent? Have we labored? Have we faithfully served him? And we will at that time prayerfully receive some rewards. Now salvation, we're there because salvation is free. But we will only receive rewards because we have put forth an effort. We have labored for the cause of Christ. Yes, salvation is free. But rewards. And I don't know about you, but I hope I get a whole bunch of them. Because what are we going to do with them? We're going to worship our Lord. We're going to cast him at his feet. And Paul was concerned, and I trust that you and I have that concern, that as we minister to others, that we ourselves become disapproved. And we do not receive an award. Paul said that he not be cast away, but that he would keep Christ as the very center of his life. In Philippians, in chapter 3, verses 7 down through verse 11, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God through by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul simply wanted Christ's approval. He wanted to be more and more like the Lord. Is that my desire? Is that your desire? Let us fear. Let us labor. There is a rest available to we as Christ's children. It will be ours, or we will fall short through unbelief, through disobedience, through apathy, through fearing man rather than fearing God. Today, there is a rest available to God's people. Strive to enter in, not strive to enter into the salvation rest. That's a free gift. But strive to enter in to that sanctification, that submissive rest, where we can one day stand before the Lord and receive a reward that we can give back to him. What a blessing. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you for your great goodness. Thank you, dear Father, for the rest that is available to us. Lord, we're so thankful for the rest of salvation that is ours by a free gift, for the fact that Christ died for Lord, having received that free gift, that salvation rest, help us by faith to press forward, to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Thank you, dear Father, for these dear folk tonight who have shown in their lives that desire to continue to go forward. Pray, Lord, that you would bless the ministry here, guide and direct in it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, are you laboring to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy that sanctification rest? The Lord has given his word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, to do its precision work in our hearts and lives to show us where we need to grow. Are you letting the Spirit of God take the Word of God to point out the areas of growth in your life, and then are you laboring at it? Too often we sense God's conviction of sin. We may confess it, but then we drop the ball. We don't labor to keep growing in that sanctification rest. Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, as a believer, would you pray that God would help me to be faithful in growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would not neglect, but that I would be faithful laboring to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that your need tonight? Could I pray for you? Say, yes, that's my need. Amen. Yes, several hands. Amen. So let the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, point out the areas of need. It discerns all the way to the deepest of our hearts and lives. But then work at what God brings conviction of. Don't give up. Don't forget. Don't neglect. Enjoy the rest that comes as you're walking with the Lord. Are you here tonight without Christ? Could I pray for you? Say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I haven't entered into salvation rest. I haven't received the free gift. As my father was mentioning tonight, the free gift of salvation. And I would love to accept Christ as my Savior tonight, to have him as my Lord. Could I pray for you right now? You'd say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Lord, work in our hearts. May we be found faithful. There is great joy and delight as we see God working in our hearts and lives, growing us. But help us, Lord, not to fail at obeying and following you so that we can enjoy that rest. Lord, may you take the word of God and bring conviction, and then may we be found faithful, being obedient to that conviction that you bring. If there's one here tonight without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray.